Oh my gosh, how do I follow that? Wow. Okay, let's just all close our eyes for a second. Holy Spirit, we honor you. Holy Spirit, we just honor your presence, Lord Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the one who welcomes us into the presence of God. Holy Spirit, we just choose to honor you above every other guest in this evening. So God, I pray even for my own words now that they may be your words. And that Jesus, as we look at the truth of your words tonight, Jesus, I pray that the truth would set people free in this place tonight, God. I pray, God, that you would come and have your way in every moment as you have been, God. We just surrender everything to you again, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Amen and amen. Awesome, guys. It's wonderful to be with you tonight. I'm very privileged to have the opportunity to share. Once again, I really, really thank the guys for giving me the opportunity just to come in, just to share what's on my heart, what I really feel the Lord's been saying. You know, Paul and I were chatting over this weekend. Like, we really feel like God's been saying some really precise and really deep stuff. And you know the Lord's in it when the worship leader basically sings your preach, which is... Michael, where are you? Where are you at? I don't know where you are. There, Brew. Just honor you, Brew. That was wonderful. Honor you, man. Now, that was just such a sweet time in the presence of the Lord. But yeah, I want to speak tonight about basically what's been happening already. But if I were to give a title to my message, I would say, you can title it in big letters, No Longer I Who Live. Picture that on the, I didn't actually make a PowerPoint, but to kind of picture that, No Longer I Who Live. Bang. Big letters across there. And what I really feel is just to, I'll start with a scripture and I'll keep turning back to it, but I really just want to pray that the truth of this word would really not just go to our brains, not just be something that we understand or something that we can just say, oh, I remember that verse, but I really pray that the Holy Spirit, even as I'm speaking, would just, almost like a stamp, would like press the truth of this word onto each and every one of our hearts tonight. Amen? Amen. So yeah, can I start off with Galatians 2 verse 20 to 21? Awesome. And even throughout this preach, I don't want to rush. I don't want to just get through scripture. Even if we just camp out for a bit on one scripture, let's just follow the Spirit. Amen? Okay, let's read together. I think it's the same words there, the ESV. Verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, or the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Wow. Yeah, can we just keep it up there for a bit? Thanks. And I want to keep it up there just so that even as I'm speaking, that we can read it again and again and again. And if you get nothing out of this preach, just go home and, yeah, that's literally in your Bible. So you can look at it as well there. But there's such a deep thing I really feel the Lord wants to say through this particular passage. And there are just a few little things that I want to touch on. And I'm going to go through a few other scriptures, so just bear with me. But essentially, we need to realize that this is the truth. For every single believer who's put their faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says they are a new creation. The moment that I gave my life to Jesus and I got baptized, David died. David, as he is in this earthy form, died. And now, even though I'm living with this kind of physical body, it is the power of Christ living in me. And that's the life that I now live. And that's the same for each and every one of us. Make it personal. It's easy to be like, oh, it's great, we are a new creation. But when we say, I am a new creation, there's deep power there. Cool. I want to get to Romans 5. That's cool. It's quite a lengthy passage, but it's all good. It's all good. Awesome. Let's read together. And we've been having a youth Bible study over the last while. Raise your hand if you were there. It was such an awesome time. And you'll probably see most of the scriptures that I'm going to be sharing have been out of that just because it's been so impactful. Cool, let's get to it. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what just came up. I think Joey shared it now. And James as well. It was such beautiful truth there about the peace that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit is the life inside of us. That's the life that we now have. I'm going to continue. Verse 6 says, for while we were still weak, while we were still powerless to sin, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one may dare to even die. Verse 8, and this is the sledgehammer. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's so deep. Oh my gosh, how do I even continue? Okay, verse 9 says, since, okay, now that this is what we've just heard, this absolute powerful truth. Now, verse 9 says, since therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, we have been made righteous before God. That's what justified, made right. God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin anymore. There's a famous Charles Spurgeon quote, I didn't actually aim to say this, but I think it goes along the lines like this. When God looks at me, he looks at me as though I were Christ. Because Christ stood before God as though he were me. You can go Google it. That is absolutely powerful. We need to understand this. We need to understand that when God looks at you and me, because you've been justified by the blood of Christ, that he doesn't see us anymore. He doesn't know us by our sin. He sees the pure perfection and the righteousness of Christ and nothing less. That's the truth. That's the truth. And it's this truth that sets us free. Amen? Where was I? Verse 10. Okay, verse 10. Wait, where was I? Did I say verse 9? Okay, verse 10. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. That's powerful, man. See, just think of it this way. When we were in our sin, when we were living for our flesh, living for our sin, living for everything but God, in that place, Jesus chose to come down from his heavenly position. And he said, I'm going to humble myself and die for you. You don't even know me. You don't even want to serve me. Yet, I will die for you because I love you. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. I want to continue in Romans, Romans 6. Can I get that scripture up as well? Now that we've heard about this in absolute insanity of what God has done, this is something we often want to respond with. Respond. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? If grace covers everything, should we just continue to sin? Because there's nothing I can do to earn my salvation anyway. Should I just sit here and just, cool, God, you've saved me, great, I can just continue my life? What does Paul say? By no means. Come on. When we accurately view grace, we can't fall into, I'll just do whatever. No. I've always said this, I've heard a lot of people say this as well. When a lot of people have said, like, what would Jesus do? You know, you need to do this because Jesus did that, and you need to do this kind of stuff. There's no power in that. Zero, nada, nix. There's no power in what would Jesus do, trying to uphold some kind of standard. There is immense power in what has Jesus done. What has Jesus done? Fix our eyes on that. Fix our eyes on that. That's when we'll actually be able to say no to sin. The word says, this isn't actually my notes, but it's the power of grace that gives us the power to say no to sin and unrighteousness. When we actually realize this truth. Verse 2, by no means, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Remember, it's no longer I who live. Do you not know? I love how Paul says that. This is the truth. Do we not know it? This is what's actually happening. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And I just want to pause there for a second. So often I've heard people sharing the gospel, or what they think is the gospel, and it's like, come to Jesus so that you can be blessed and you can live in freedom and you can do this and this and this and this and this. And it's basically like a upgrade to your life. Great, you can continue the way you're living, but just stick Jesus to you and you can have all these benefits. No. What does the scripture say? It doesn't say walk in improved life or a better version of your life. It says that we might walk in newness of life. Just as Christ died and rose again, when we give our lives to Jesus, we die and are baptized into his death, and we rise again in his life. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. I want to go to Colossians 3, if that's cool. Here we go. This is also really cool. It says, if then, hearing what I've just said, if then you have been raised with Christ, if then, this is the reality now. Now, seek the things that are of above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I love this. It's not saying, do this and this and this and this, so that this may be true, that you may have life with Jesus. No. It's saying, you have life with Jesus. So now, do this and this and this. A very powerful truth that I've been really impacted by in our Bible study has been, don't try and grab onto this so that it can be real, so that you can gain it. Don't try and pursue this righteousness so that you can have righteousness. No, Christ has given me righteousness because I am now the righteousness of God. There's no more room to try and improve and be better in terms of gaining salvation because I am the righteousness of God now. We need to understand this. When we understand this, all performance goes out the window. All fear of God, negative fear of God, all fear of man goes out the window. Because we are secured in our identity in Christ. We know, like we know, like we know, like we know, that no matter how poorly I hold on to God or try to pursue this righteousness, that doesn't matter. Because that doesn't affect how God is holding on to me. That needs to be in our minds and our hearts. That God, even though I fail you so many times, that doesn't mean that you've let go of me. Is this true? Come on, guys. This is amazing. Just want to... I want to kind of go back to that Sure. I want to go back to that Galatians 2 scripture just so I can look at it again, if that's cool. Specific part I want to kind of have a look at. There you go. Because once again, we're kind of looking at the scripture as the centerpiece. So now, read it with me again. It says, the first part, the life I now live. Wait, hold on. Sorry, I just messed it up. The second part here, where it says, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This whole time I've been talking about that first part of the scripture. Now I'm going to touch on that and part. And to do that, I've got a really cool analogy that a really cool friend of mine has just done, and I need a chair to do it. Okay. So, because analogies are always really easy to remember, am I right? Cool. So it says, and the life I now live in the flesh, in the body, in this temporary vessel, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, what is faith? Very good, very good. Try to say that in a really easy term. That's good. I'm gonna do something quick. I hope you follow me in this. But what does this chair do? So when I'm sitting in a chair, you know, do I believe that the chair will hold me up? Well, obviously. Why else would I sit in the chair? But so often I found in my own life I can be sitting, well, not actually in the chair, but picture this as a kind of analogy of my faith in God. So often I'm like, yes, God, I have faith in you, but yeah, God, like, I trust you completely, Lord. Oh, is that having faith in the chair? No. If I genuinely had faith in the chair, I wouldn't be scared to actually test it. I wouldn't be scared to actually get comfortable in it. All my weight in it. With our faith with Jesus, we can't be half in. What's tonight being about? Surrender. We're all in. Everything we have, God. And God wants to have a people that are going to be able to go from, oh God, you know, a little bit worried about tomorrow, a little bit worried where my finances are going to come from, Lord. I know that you're the way, the truth, and the life, but Lord, I mean, we need to be a people who are going to be, God, your promises are yes and amen. I'm going to trust in you and you alone, Lord. Can you see the shift? And something that I wanted to just touch on is often when you think of the word surrender, you normally don't think of freedom. You normally don't. The root word of surrender, like, it's actually a military term. If I'm at war with my mom and we're having a battle, love you, Mom. But if we're at a battle, to surrender literally means to give up and admit defeat, admit that you have won, that you are superior, and to completely lay down my weapons. And what happens in an army situation, that normally means, like, I'm in captive now, my freedom's gone. But when we actually surrender to God, that's when freedom begins. That's when freedom begins. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. The Word of God also says that, Jesus actually said this, unless you lose your life for my sake, you won't find it. It's only when we give our entire lives to Jesus and say, God, you can have it all, that's when we actually find freedom. That's when we actually find life. And I really just pray that this would be something we take home. Not something we just, oh, cool, cool, and then we forget it. I pray, God, that this would be something that we really live. This would be something that we live, Jesus. Even Jesus. Even Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done, Father. Where did he say that? Before he was going to be crucified. And if Jesus, being God, was able to say, not my will, how much more should we be able to say that? How much more should we be able to say, God, I give you everything, I lay it down. Not my will, not my desires, not my want for pleasure, not my anything, but your will be done, Lord Jesus. Let this be our character. Let this be what we live. Because at the end of the day, Jesus gave everything. He gave everything for us. And that's why we come here on a Sunday. That's why we celebrate him. That's why we live for him. It's because just as Jesus gave everything for me, I, out of response, want to give everything for him. I want to ask if I can get the Philippians scripture, please. Jesus. Once again, once we've been redeemed by God, once we've been justified by Jesus, once we have this pearl of great price, this treasure. Now Paul writes here, he says, remember, Paul was a rabbi of rabbis. He had everything in the worldly sense. He could boast in his riches. He could boast in everything. But, the scripture says here, but whatever gain I had, everything in the world, everything that I had to my name, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness of God that depends on faith. Remember what I did on the chair there? I was depending on the chair. I wasn't trying to hold myself up with my own work, with my own ability. Because when it comes to God, that will get us nowhere. The Bible says even our best things, even the best things we can boast in are just filthy rags. Even the best we have to offer compared to an almighty God is nothing. And that's why I am so grateful for the righteousness of Christ that we have. Because it's only by Jesus that we can actually stand before him and actually have this life, depending on him completely, just like the chair. So even in closing, I want to ask if we could really just examine our hearts. If we could really just take a second to prayerfully ask the Lord, God, am I depending on you? God, am I surrendering? God, are there areas in my life? And I believe for every single one of us here that there are areas that the Lord is saying, actually, surrender this. Surrender this to me. There's an area of your life where you have got back on the throne, where actually the throne of our hearts belongs to Jesus and Jesus alone. I want us to ask ourselves, are we clinging to him? Are we viewing him the way that he is? Are we viewing him as our treasure? Or are we viewing him as like the Sunday evening kind of entertainment? Church, the word says unless we view him like this, we're not worthy of him. The Bible says when we get to heaven one day, God is going to be like, you did all this in my name, but I didn't know you. Which is why I said there is no power in a checklist. There's no power in do this, do that. There's no power in trying to keep up a good facade or a good kind of image. That'll fade away. We need to live as the Bible says, as those who have brought from death to life. We need to know that. We need to know that it's by Jesus and through Jesus and for Jesus that our life even exists. That it's by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus that our life actually even exists in the first place. Can we bow our heads? Mike, I don't know where you are with the guitar, short. I really felt when I was preparing this preach that it was a, I felt the Lord strongly saying that, you can even quote, it's time to return to surrender. It's time to turn to laying everything down, holding nothing back, being unashamed, being uncomplicated, returning to focusing on His face and His face alone. It's time to come back to realizing that we are held in His hand. That's the truth. It's time to realize that He is God and we are not. And just as I come into close, I've had this, you can call it prophetic picture or anything, but I had this picture of, while I was praying a while ago of, if you look at the sun, and you see the sun, it's massive. We've just done we did a little thing at youth about 2 weeks ago where we looked at the stars and the planets and the entire of the solar systems and the galaxies and the whole universe, and we looked at the scale of it and we saw, oh my gosh, God made all of this. Where it says He holds it all in the span of His hand. That He is seated in the throne of the universe and He looks over everything, and it's, what is man that you're mindful of Him? But I saw a picture, I saw the sun in its vastness, it's huge. And I saw it being compared to just a little candle. Little candle. And I saw us so often not looking at the sun as the source of light, not looking at the sun as the source of sustenance and existence. But we held up a little candle in front of our little face, something that we made. Little man-made candle. And because of perspective, it's so close to us, it looked brighter than the sun. And church, I want to say that there's so many things in all of our lives that we're worshiping, that we're holding so close to us, that we're looking at with all of us, we're looking at it. But it's not God. But because it looks so close and it looks so bright, comparatively, it looks like it's so bright. Looks like it's everything. But I really feel the Lord saying that it's time to lay down these candles. It's time to lay down these things that we've made, things that we've idolized, things that we have sought to for our life and our energy and our pleasure. And to come back to our first love. To come back to knowing that we are relying and depending on Him.